shoots, and Swans have won the grand final. Spills out to Horsley. What a goal!
For an inside look at the state's biggest footy league, it's the Monday Waffle.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Monday Waffle podcast. You are here with Asher Gibbon and James Broadhurst to talk you through all the happenings in the Monday Waffle world.
Well, James, there's been not so much, you'd say, happening in the Perth Waffle world this weekend, gone, but over in South Australia, the Waffle boys, they've been hard and playing hard. It's a lot has happened.
A lot has happened.
A special game.
A very special game for South Australia and WA. They're flying the flag for state footy in a very different way. But we're also going to be covering that game from a couple of different angles. Who have we got a chat with lined up later in the potty?
We've got a chat with Matthew Jupp, who captained the Sand Gropers against the Crow Eaters.
Yeah, you've got to love those state nicknames, don't you?
Yes.
Nothing brings out a rivalry like a really bad nickname, in my opinion. And we're also going to be previewing all of the Round 7 action coming up in the Waffle League. And we're also going to be casting our eyes about 10 days into the future. And we're going to be having a look towards the mid-season draft a little bit later on as well, seeing who's hot and who's not for that competition. But why don't we dive into the WA versus South Australia match that was on Friday afternoon. It was on 1:40 local time at Adelaide Oval, which was also the centrepiece for the start of Doug Nicholls' round as well. Asher, who was at the very, very front of the squad for WA this year?
For the front, it was Mr. Matthew Jupp, who we just mentioned earlier.
And also coached by Cameron Shepherd, very experienced. We had a lot of representation from a bunch of different players and clubs. Obviously, it was a wonderful experience and a wonderful opportunity to showcase the very best of what WA has to offer. And I think we did pretty well. We didn't come away with the win, which is a bit unfortunate.
Yep.
But, you know, it was four in a row for South Australia. South Australia scored the first goal of the game with only 4 minutes gone. South Australia managed to pull away to a 17-point lead at halftime. WA scored three quick goals to none in the third to trail by a single point heading into three-quarter time.
Yep, so WA, they took the lead early in the last with a goal to debutant Mitch Dobson. And South Australia, they kicked the last two goals of the game to put the result beyond reasonable doubt, I think. WA, they only had 12 players who had played in the black and gold colours before, so lots of new faces and new dynamics.
Yeah, great opportunity to see a lot of pride and passion out on the ground for those wearing the black and gold for the first time. Looking at the scores quarter by quarter, you know, it looks like Western Australia, their inaccuracy in front of goal early definitely cost them. 2-6 in the opening quarter. That might have been the difference. Maybe if they'd taken a few more of their early opportunities, we'd be talking about a different result. Hindsight, always a wonderful thing. But, you know, scoring 3-0 in that third quarter when the game was really on the line, I think that shows a lot to as to what they were going to do. But South Australia kicking the final 2 goals of the game, I think that kind of maybe embellishes the scoreline on their favour a little bit, and maybe doesn't pay WA in the picture that they need to be painted.
Yes, definitely. Inaccuracy seems to be a bit of a thing that everyone always says is the issue, but I think it is correct. You hear people harp on about it a bit.
I know, but let he or she who is without sin cast the first stone. I reckon if you put me 20 metres out directly in front of goal, I'd probably spray it.
Yeah, I don't think I would do too well as well, especially while running sometimes. Like,
yeah,
oh,
exactly.
No.
Well, the HBF run for a reason, and, you know, footy players do tend to run between 12 and 13 Ks in a game if they're playing in the midfield or even more. You know, if you took me at the end of that 12K run and put me in front of goals, even like 5 minutes out, I'd be questioning my ability to put it through the big sticks.
I think I'd just send it backwards to the other end of the field.
Well, speaking of goals for WA, Sokol kicked 3 and singles for Murdoch, Aguirre, Buller and Dobson. The best for WA was Schumacher, Murdoch, McGuilkin, Aguirre, Miles, Sokol, Erdley and Eastland. And for the SA team, who was the best?
Yes, we had McBean. He had 3 goals. Ballenden had 2. Frederick, Rowe and Ramsey all had 1. So the best on ground for them was Rowe, Hardy, Bailey, Lewis. Lots of best on grounds. Frederick, Voss, Turner, McBean and Sinor.
Well, with that much talent and obviously a few medalists as well, it was the Hayden Bundon Cup, as it's come to be named.
Yep.
And the Simpson medalist for, or the best on ground for WA, was named as Angus Schumacher. And for the Williams medal, the South Australian best player went to James Rowe this year.
Yes, so definitely a good game, one of the best probably moments, I think, on the calendar. So we'll just have to keep our eyes peeled for the next one.
Yeah, we
Maybe
will.
Maybe WA will redeem themselves, I think.
Well, hopefully they can bring the Crow Eaters, is that it? Yeah, the Crow Yes. Eaters over to the West Coast, you know, put the travel on their ground.
Yep.
And put the travel into their legs for the next one, make it an even encounter. But we were actually very fortunate to have a conversation with Matthew Jupp, who is the state leader for WA. He was honoured to take on the position of being captain. The East Frio player was very humbled by the opportunity to lead the state team, and I wanted to ask Matthew Jupp, thank you so much for joining us here on the Monday Waffle podcast. Can you tell us what it meant to you to be a part and be captain of the WA state team?
Yeah, it was unreal. It was a real pinch yourself moment for me, and something that I'm going to cherish for the rest of my life. It was a great honour and a great privilege to captain my state. So many great captains have come before me, and I was so proud and so privileged to do it.
And what was it like in the lead-up, getting the squad together? Did it feel a little bit weird working with so many players on the park that you would normally be critiquing and sort of figuring out game plans for leading up to the weekend?
Yeah, that's one of the odd intricacies of it all, and one of the quirks of state footy is, you know, you're playing against guys... you're training with guys that you played against on the weekend, you know. My three games leading into the state game, I was up against Michael Sinclair, Tyler Keitel and Ben Sokol. Two of those three played on the game on the weekend, and one of them was in the squad. So, yeah, that's a little bit awkward. But to be honest, the prep leading up was pretty good. We got together 4, 5, 6 weeks out before the game, and look, we couldn't have been any more prepared. We had a Monday session for, like I said, 6 weeks leading up. We caught up together as a playing group for a team recovery. We really did give it our all to get as best prepared as we could for the game.
Yeah, and you had a chance on the weekend to break a 3-game losing streak against South Australia. What do you think the difference was between winning and losing? You managed to take the lead very early in the last quarter. What kind of happened after that? What was the difference?
Oh, look, to be fair, probably the tail of the tape was they were able to transition and move the ball against us a little bit too easily. We probably didn't do enough work to stop them through the midfield. We let them take probably too many uncontested marks, and look, the ball was delivered in pretty nicely for their big key forwards. So I think that's where the game was won and lost. We certainly dug in. We were up against it at half time. It could have gone either way at that point, as in we could have just sort of given up the ghost and could have been a bit of a blowout. But to the credit of the group, they guys really dug in. We fought back, we got ourselves in front, but we were probably beaten by a better side at the end of the day.
Well, you must have been pretty happy to hold the South Australian team goalless in the third quarter and put on 3 yourself. But I did want to ask, a lot of debutants in the WA side this year, what are some of the positives to take away from the weekend's contest?
Well, I think just the fact that state footy is alive and well. You know, we came together and we really put our best foot forward. We tried our absolute all to get the win, and look, we came up short, but it wasn't through lack of effort. The game was played in great spirit. Anyone that watched, you could sort of tell that, you could read that through the screen. And the same for South Australian guys. You know, speaking to them after the game, you know, they give us stuff about the game as well, and they care just as much as we do. So best thing is that, that state footy's alive and well. Look, it was great to see a couple of guys make their state debuts. We had over 11, 12 guys in that program that had played over 100 games of Waffle League footy. So, look, there were a couple of state debutants, there's a lot of experience. And to see guys play their first state game after playing so much Waffle League footy, it's good to see that them get rewarded for all their hard work. So, yeah, two of the main benefits.
And being a captain, I don't want to put you into any hot water at all, but who really impressed you from the WA state squad on the weekend?
That's a really good question. I've played with these guys a couple of times now, but Noah Pegoraro and Zach Guidman from West Perth are incredibly impressive people and players. They're so much fun to play with. They're both, you know, diligent. They both work so hard, and look, they do their almightiest to stop opposing sort of forwards. So look, I love playing with them. I thought Ben Sokol was really, really good up forward and gave us a bit of a spark. Angus Schumacher was good in the middle, winning the Simpson. And look, my little teammate Milan Murdoch, I thought he was hard in and around the ball and gave it his all. So look, there's a lot of good players in the game in the end. But yeah, like I said, just unfortunate to come up short.
And pretty rare opportunity for players at a state level to be able to play footy interstate. What was the highlight of the weekend for you outside of football?
Playing on Adelaide Oval, I guess that was football, but playing on Adelaide Oval was unreal. Probably the highlight is getting a chance to, you know, the majority of the playing squad ended up at 8 or 9 o'clock that night after the game. We sort of ended up in my hotel room and just sitting there having a beer and getting to know each other. And look, that was a magic hour and a bit where we all got to have a bit of time together and just to learn each other's stories and sort of meet a couple of new faces that you haven't had a chance to do that with over your career. So that was probably the hidden little magic in it all. But yeah, it is a great experience to be able to do that.
And you've touched on this briefly already, but do you think that there is a future for state footy and representative footy? What would it mean to see something similar to a state of origin comp return to the local state leagues? And do you think that you'll see it in your footy career?
Yeah, but I think it's important and it's vital for state footy. You know, it can't just be WA and SA fighting the fight. Look, Victoria have sort of pulled the pin on it the last few years. I wouldn't write them off. I still think they've got a lot of state footy left in them, and we would love to see them back in the fold. Same with Tasmania now that there's a bit of an influx going on that in that sort of state. So look, the Waffle players just love playing state footy. It means so much to be able to represent your state, and it's, you know, it's the highest honour you can achieve outside of potentially winning a premiership. So there's definitely a future for it.
And back to the grind this week. You take on Claremont. You're coming off a strong victory in round 6 against Subi. A lot of travel for you in the last fortnight as you head to Broome this weekend. What are some of the focus points for the Sharks ahead of this weekend's 2022 preliminary final rematch?
Yeah, look, Claremont are a really bouncy side off half back, and we're going to have to get to work on how we stop their ball movement and their transition. Another really good test for our group. So we're 4-2, and we're sort of just finding our feet at this level. And after majority of our players with a chance to get a little bit rested over the weekend, I think we're going to come out firing. It's going to be a really good contest. It's unreal playing in the regions. We got the opportunity to play in Northampton last year, and the Waffle players love getting out and about and playing in the region. So going to Broome is going to be really, really cool, really good fun, and it's going to be a good contest. We've got a score to ledger after the loss in the preliminary final last year.
Well, don't forget to pack your board shorts. It's going to be 30 degrees and sunny up in the top end of WA, so you might even get a bit of a beach swim in, I reckon, either post-game or pre-game, depending on which way you're leaning towards your recovery. Well, that's everything from me, Matthew Jupp. Thank you so much for joining us here on the Monday Waffle podcast to shed a bit of insight as to what it was like to have your boots on the ground for WA representing against South Australia over the weekend.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
That was Matthew Jupp joining us here on the Monday Waffle, chatting all things about the state game and what it means to be captain. Now, James, let's jump straight into it. We need a little bit of a ladder review. Let's jump into our ladder chat.
Yeah, well, I reckon that you should take the top five, seeing that, you know, I'm ladies first.
Alrighty. So starting at the top this week, so Peel Thunder, they are first on the ladder, which I think is a surprise to some people.
Definitely a surprise to me. If you had told me that, you know, 6 or 7 weeks into the Waffle season, that Peel Thunder was going to be sitting up the top, you know, not quite a game clear, but pretty close to, I would have told you were probably crazy. Yep. Maybe not in as many words as well.
I definitely agree. It's very good seeing a bit of a different person, a different team up there. It's very keeping things interesting this season. So looking down to number two, we do have Claremont. They are currently sitting on 20 points as well, the same as Peel Thunder. I think this weekend they will be wanting that win. If they get that win and Peel Thunder doesn't, that will solidify them up at the top of the table. Then moving down, we've got third is West Perth. Fourth, we've got East Frio. And fifth is Subi. They're all on 16 points. So
pretty surprising to see Subi down, you know, at fifth. I know that there's only really 4 points separating the top five, but that's a bit of a surprise for me. They've always had such a strong sort of fan base, and they've always been very consistent throughout the waffle seasons. To see them down that bottom of the top five, I know there's a long way to go, but you know, that's a bit of a surprise for me.
I know, it's good. I think they definitely might be feeling a bit sad down there in fifth.
Well, if they're sad to be down at number five, we have to pay commiserations to the Eagles down in 10th. But we'll get to them in a moment. Don't worry. Coming in at number six, we've got East Perth, which is, given the way that they started their season with three back-to-back wins, all pretty strong. They look like they were firing. Yep. I do kind of feel like maybe we're settling into the season proper now. Mm-hmm. Maybe the expectations, and maybe we're starting to see a real glimpse of where each team is at.
Yeah.
South Frio, obviously, starting on negative 8 points. If they weren't on negative 8 at the start of the season, they would actually be pretty close to, they're only on 3 wins. So, you know, they'd pretty much be where they are.
Yeah.
Then you've got Swan Districts. They have to be the unluckiest team in waffle footy at the moment.
I know. I think
so many close games, and I think that's a little bit biased on your behalf as well.
For them a bit. When I went to the game a couple of weeks ago, it was their West Perth game. I was so devastated.
Hey? And you are a bit of a steel blue soldier.
I am very. That's my home.
Your home.
The Basso.
And you are biased. You have actually said on a number of occasions that Bassendean does the best hot chips in
Waffle
Footy.
Yep.
So, yep, them's fighting words for sure.
Yep.
Down the bottom of the ladder, we've actually got Perth, followed by West Coast, who are still searching for their first win of the season.
They are.
We're not going to talk about their injury problems because I think that's very well known and understood. I think it's just a matter of trying to figure out where to from here.
Yeah.
Any support, any positivity that they can bring, whether it's through experience to their younger players or, you know, looking at bringing in some slightly older, mature players who might have hung up the boots a little while ago. We've already seen that happen a couple of times this year.
Yep.
I think everyone is open to experimentation.
It's positive vibes only when talking about West Coast now, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's only up from here.
Quite literally.
Yeah.
Well, we will touch on the West Coast versus East Perth game a little later on as we head now into our round 7 preview for the Monday Waffle podcast. The round is kicking off with Claremont versus East Frio all the way up in Broome.
Yes.
So it's going to be hot. It's going to be sunny. It's not going to be very wintry.
Going to be a hot 30 degrees.
Yeah, and 30 degrees when we've been going through, you know, mid-20s down here in Perth, I think that's going to be a bit of a test for some of the players having to make that adjustment. I'm probably going to say that we're going to see a few ice vests out on the ground, I reckon.
Yes.
Either definitely. That or I hope all the players are packing their board shorts.
Yeah.
There might be some crocodiles out in the water, so be careful. We want to keep them out of the headlines. But East Frio will actually be out for revenge. It is a 2022 prelim final rematch as well. Mm-hmm. And a lot of travel for quite a few members of both clubs on the back of WA versus South Australia. So within the space of 2 weeks, I think about 7 or 8 players across both teams would have travelled to South Australia, back to Perth, and now heading up to Broome.
Yeah.
A pretty rare opportunity to travel for Waffle players, so I'm sure they're actually loving it.
Yeah.
But whether that's going to play a factor in the latter stages of the games, especially with the hot weather.
So to be continued.
Exactly. So stay tuned to the Monday Waffle podcast next week when we'll find out if our predictions were correct.
Yes, how all of that Broome, what'd you say, the Broome hot stuff played out.
It's going to get a little hot and steamy up in the north end of WA, that is for sure. And Asha, tell me a little bit about the Subiaco versus the Swan Districts game at Leaderville Oval.
Down here in Perth, it's going to be a little bit colder this weekend. So Subi, they'll be looking to return to the winners list. As we said, they're fifth. They will be wanting that win this weekend. But Swans, they're also looking to improve, having lost four of their last five. And I think, James, this could be a bit of a close match, I think.
Well, I hope so. I think that there's been a tendency for some waffle games this season to not necessarily be a little bit one-sided, but almost be decided by three-quarter time.
Yeah.
So it'd be nice to see a contest going all the way through to the fourth.
Yeah.
You know, if the WA versus South Australia game is anything to go by, you know, even though scores weren't necessarily that high, just that contest around the ground. We also saw it in the weekend's match with the Bombers versus Richmond.
Yeah.
You don't need to see 30 goals in a game for it to be a good game of footy.
No. Yeah.
So I think we'd all be hoping for just a close match. If it can go into the last quarter, 1 to 2 goals either way, I think that's engaging footy and great for the crowds as well.
Yeah, definitely. That makes it a very exciting match to watch, I think.
And so I think it also makes your sledges hit a little closer to home when you're screaming them yourself in the last quarter. You can be like, yeah, he missed that goal because of what I said. And then you'd be like, wait, no, he missed that. Oh, dear. But coming up as well, we've also got South Fremantle versus Perth at Fremantle Community Oval. The Bulldogs can potentially crack into the top five if they win against the Demons, is what I would be saying if they actually started the season on 0 points. Perth have only won one of their last five games, and Perth have to go back to round 7 of 2021 for their last win against South Fremantle. So I think the Bulldogs have got odds leaning in their favour, but last time I said that, they weren't able to get the job done against your team, the Swan Districts, so maybe I should
keep
be quiet
with
the praise for maybe another week and come back for the Waffle podcast. And tell me about West Coast versus East Perth.
Alrighty, so West Coast versus East Perth. So East Perth, they'll definitely be keen to return to the winners list after a strong start to the season. They've had 3 losses in a row, so I think this weekend they will want to try and get as many goals as possible. So West Coast, well, every week they get closer to their first win statistically. So only up from here.
I like the positivity that we're bringing here on the Monday Waffle podcast.
It's the positive vibes, James.
Yeah, I think there's been a lot of conversation around whether they're just unlucky, whether it's list management, whether it stems from the clubs at the AFL club that are trickling their way down. There's a lot going on.
Yeah, there is. So we just have to we just have to watch it unfold, unfortunately, and just hope it gets sorted out, I guess.
I definitely think that one of the positives that you can take away is potentially where they're going to be, not next season, but maybe the season after, as they're able to get a lot of hours and a lot of match time into the legs of younger players who might not have had the opportunity to represent at the Waffle League level if it wasn't for these injuries and vacancies. So if it is providing opportunities for players to get experience, and hopefully we'll start to see that return if they can keep that group together. And, you know, a little bit of trauma bonding never goes astray as well. You know, the players that are going through this together now are going to have the resilience that you can only build through this sort of chaos.
Definitely. Not that I can speak from experience, but I'd say it's good being at a club that's doing well, but if you stick around through that hard time, I think it would just make it so much worthwhile.
Yeah, victory can be a very sweet thing if you've waited a long time
for it.
And I think that we can all testify to that, having gone through periods of intensive here at the broadcasting course and getting to the pointy end and getting a HD when you get them. It feels oh so good.
Yeah.
Not that I get many of those these days. But anyway, moving right on to what we think is going to be the Waffle Monday Waffle Podcast Game of the Week. We actually think it's going to be Peel Thunder versus West Perth Falcons. Asha, what can you tell me about this matchup?
Well, both sides, they've only lost one of their last 5 matches, so I think this is the game to watch. I think the contest is going to be happening. I think that tensions will be high, and I think a very good game of footy should be on display this weekend in this game?
Well, it is going to be Peel first on the ladder versus West Perth in third. Fantastic opportunity for Peel to break their hoodoo against West Perth, who have actually won the last five games against the Thunder. Not much separating the two sides at this stage. Looking at where they're both sitting on the ladder, their percentage, I think they're only separated by 3-4% over the course of six rounds so far this season.
Yeah.
Both sides coming off thumping victories in round six against West Coast and Perth respectively. And will the state game be a factor? West Perth, obviously they've been doing pretty well this season. They had four players in Meadows, Dobson, Pegoraro and Goodigan travel to South Australia to represent WA, where Peel only had Ben Hancock making the journey across the border.
Yeah.
So will that travel play a factor for West Perth? Not sure. I think it's a pretty unique opportunity. Not a lot of waffle clubs will have experience with recovery and getting players turned around so quickly from interstate travel, but you know, sports science has come a long way.
Yeah.
Maybe they've got the edge. Maybe a couple more multivitamins, maybe an ice bath.
Might be a bit to be continued, like our lovely broom game this weekend.
Well, that wraps up what we have going on in round seven for the Monday Waffle. And just touching quickly on the Waffle W competition, round 10 wrapped up on the weekend. Asha, what can you tell me about the Swan Districts and Subiaco?
Yeah, so Swan Districts, they defeated Subiaco at Leaderville on the weekend. It was 27-26. So very close game. It was 4-3 and 4-4.
I was
like, it's 1 point.
Yeah, so 1 point. Like we said before, it doesn't have to be a high-scoring contest to be a gripping one.
Yeah.
I think when it comes down to less than a single kick, it's just that tension that you see in the air is always going to be fascinating. We also had East Frio defeated East Perth at Leaderville Oval. 1-7 versus 9-14. So we've got both ends of the spectrum. We got one team that can't kick straight, and then we got another team who just can't kick at all.
Yeah.
So I think we've seen it all in that game of the Waffle.
Definitely. East Perth, they are definitely going to be, they're in that developing stage. It's still only their first season.
Yep.
Lots to build. I think, like we've said in previous potties, that day they get their first win, oh my gosh, I will be so happy. Yeah, I can't imagine what they will feel like.
It'll be like winning the grand final for sure. West Perth also defeated the Peel Thunder at Lane Group Stadium. It was 6-238 to 4-327. And Claremont defeated South Fremantle at Fremantle Community Oval. 8-452 versus 3-523 in what was a top of the table clash.
Yeah.
So Claremont remain undefeated after beating second place South Frio on the weekend. And what can you tell me about your club, the Swan Districts?
Well, Swan Districts, they're charging with five wins in a row in the W. They're likely to keep that run going this weekend. Glad to see that the girls for the Swannies are doing well, having a bit more luck than the boys at the moment.
Yeah, I had a feeling that you were going to be sliding that in there at some stage in the podcast.
I'm
so,
good job, go girls.
Well, we've seen that with so many of our national codes in recent times with, you know, the Matildas and even the women's cricket team doing what their male counterparts can't.
Yeah.
So I think that's a shining light for sure. We also had East Frio happy to be back on the winners list after three losses and a draw leading up to round 10. And like we mentioned, worrying signs for East Perth, managing just 2 goals in their last 2 matches.
Yeah.
So hopefully they're going to be addressing, maybe it's their midfield who just can't get enough supply down to their forwards, or there's a lot of factors at play here.
Yeah.
But hopefully we can start to see just a little bit more scoreboard pressure
from
the Royals.
Yeah, lots of those girls, I do know this is their first season ever playing in the Waffle W, so I think hopefully if the luck's just not there by the end of the season, it'll definitely be next. I think that it's just upping that ante like to the next level. So
well, with every loss they come statistically closer to their first win,
only up from here.
Yep. So we're spinning a little bit of positivity here, but let's keep that ball going. And coming up for the final siren here on the Monday Waffle podcast, we're going to be touching quickly on the mid-season draft. Asha, what can you tell me about next week's mid-season draft for the AFL?
Mid-season draft, I think that is one of the most important dates in the AFL calendar. calendar in the VFL, the Waffle, the Sandville, everywhere. If you are a footy person, if you watch that the footy, it is something everyone looks forward to. So the draft day is going to be on the 31st of May. So clubs they have until Tuesday the 30th of May to have a rookie slot available on their rosters. So I think definitely over the next 10 days in the AFL, we'll be seeing a couple of reshuffles, some rejigging, lots of news will start coming out. So far, it's only been reported that 5 clubs have spaces available, but that could definitely change if clubs move injured players to the inactive lists.
Yeah, I definitely feel like a lot of clubs are going to be assessing whether they move maybe a senior player who's carrying a longer-term injury to the inactive list with the chance of bolstering their roster, or if they're looking longer-term to develop a player, they might be looking towards the start of the season draft next year.
Yeah.
But obviously the success story out of the Waffle would definitely have to be Marlon Pickett.
Yeah.
2019 went from South Fremantle into the mid-season draft, into the VFL, into an AFL grand final, and doing a blind pirouette through the centre square, hammering it on the left boot to a Richmond forward taking a grab to get one of the goals of the game.
Yeah.
That is a memory that is always going to be etched in my mind. Every time that I see Richmond playing, I always think of that moment. And especially with the clash at the Sash over the weekend, seeing Marlon Pickett, you know, running around on the ground. It feels pretty good to be reminded of what the mid-season draft can provide for players that are on the cusp of finding their way into the senior footy leagues as well. So in terms of what WA talent we are kind of anticipating might get a little bit of attention, what can you tell me about Claremont forward Daniel Curtin?
Alrighty, so he'll be playing in the Colts up forward. He's 195 centimetres.
That's huge.
That is so tall.
That's like 12 centimetres taller than me.
Yep.
And I'm a pretty tall boy.
So definitely someone to be looking. I think all eyes will be on him this weekend.
And there's also an eye on a Subi player as well.
Yes, we have Colton Tholstrup. He's in the mix.
And one of your players from the Swan Districts too is making a run.
Yeah, the running defender, Riley Hardiman. So lots of... We've got covering the different clubs. I think that's what I was trying to say.
Yeah,
and we've also got some variety.
Yeah, and we've also got Peel Thunder's Clay Hall. He's had a go at senior level and impressed. And Fremantle's developing ruck prospect that we haven't seen much of, but Mitch Edwards is getting a bit of attention.
Yes.
He is even taller than Daniel Curtin, which for me is just mind blowing. So I'm 180 something centimeters, and then Daniel Curtin is this much taller, and then Fremantle's ruck prospect Edwards is that much taller. I think he would actually have to duck getting into the doorways of the studio. He would be that tall. Yeah,
he's 205 centimetres. I think that would be 6 foot two taller?
Oh, much taller. You're talking about 7 foot tall at least.
Yes. Yeah. What am I? I can't do maths.
Well, I guess for you, anyone that is at 6 foot is pretty tall from your perspective.
Do you know what I always tell myself? When you like, someone's 7 foot, I'm like, you're 7 subways tall. You're 7 foot long.
Well, Mitch Edwards, you have it here first on the Monday Wolf podcast. You are now 7 subway footlongs tall. But Frio, interestingly, the way that it works out, even though Fremantle have been putting a lot of effort and time into his development and sort of progress, unless he is nominated and taken outside pick 40 at the mid-season draft, Fremantle don't have any right of way to actually block the transfer. Obviously, there's politics and players can sort of determine where they go eventually by not accepting a contract. But unless he is taken outside of the top 40, the best outcome that Fremantle could hope for is to match a bid, which would mean that they'd have to make some room on their rookie list as well. So it starts to get complex. We're not going to dive into computations of who's traded picks for this and that, because we simply don't have enough time here on the Monday Waffle podcast.
No.
But Asher, if you wanted to just wrap up what you're looking forward to the most about seeing Waffle footy back on this weekend.
I am looking forward. Okay, let me think of 5 words. I'm going to end with 5 words. Excited to see high contest this weekend.
That's 7 words. That's 7 footlongs.
That's 7 footlongs.
But I'm just excited to see waffle footy back on centre stage here at the state level at grounds around Perth. Great to see local footy doing it, King, and it was fantastic to hear from the West Australian captain as well in Matthew Jupp. You have been with
Asher Gibbon
and James Broadhurst for the latest edition of the Monday Waffle podcast. Keep an eye out on socials for this week's latest content and also upcoming episodes. Yeah. This is James Broadhurst signing out.
Goodbye, Monday Wafflers.
's for listening to the Monday Waffle, proudly brought to you by the students from ECU Broadcasting.